Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, You Make Us All Different.
We're now continuing in Hosea. So Hosea 9. Thank you, Marilyn.
Do not rejoice, O Israel. Do not exult as other nations do. For you have played a whore, departing from your God. You have loved the prostitute's pay on all threshing floors. Threshing floor and wine vat shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail them. They shall not remain in the land of the Lord, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and in Assyria they shall eat unclean food. They shall not pour drink offerings of wine to the Lord, and their sacrifices shall not please him. Such sacrifices shall be like mourners' bread. All who eat of it shall be defiled, for their bread shall be for their hunger only. It shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival and on the day of the festival of the Lord? For even if they escape destruction, Egypt shall gather them, Memphis shall bury them, nettles shall possess their precious things of silver, thorns shall be in their tents. The days of punishment have come, the days of recompense have come. Israel cries, the prophet is a fool, the man of the spirit is mad, because of your great iniquity, your hostility is great. The prophet is a sentinel for my God over Ephraim. Yet a fowler's snare is on all his ways, and hostility in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel, like the first fruit on the fig tree in its first season. I saw your ancestors. But they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to a thing of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory shall fly away like a bird, no birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they bring up children, I will bereave them until no one is left. Woe to them indeed when I depart from them. Once I saw Ephraim as a young palm planted in a lovely meadow. But now Ephraim must lead out his children for slaughter. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Every evil of theirs began at Gilgal. There I came to hate them. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their officials are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit, even though they give birth. I will kill the cherished offspring of their womb, because they have not listened to him. My God will reject them. They shall become wanderers among the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we now have 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to the end. Thank you, Lynn.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honourable, we clothe with greater honour, and our less and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honour to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, form of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Thanks be to God. So I'm going to focus in on that image of the body of Christ, and in some translations, the body of the Messiah. Like we are all one member, we're all part of one body.
Mm.
And how we often forget that. And I don't really want to go there with Hosea, to be honest. That was quite a telling off that Israel got. And it's pretty brutal sometimes. And that's, it's coming to a peak there where the prophet's job is to tell the people where, you know, where things are at. And sometimes we need to be told off as well. But sometimes I don't see the connection. I'm sure there is to some people. But as I started this time of prayer, just thinking about the talents that are within the church, and the play that was put on called Stable Manners, and the gifts that are there. And so often it's easy just to see the people on the stage and praise them. But you know what I saw when I was there is that as you go in, there was John Henderson with his black tie and his suit on the door. At least it was last night. I'm sure someone else did it. And he was so welcoming, so like, oh, this is a professional thing. And then there's the people at the tickets booth. And then there's the lighting and sound crew. And then you look over and there's the people preparing the teas and coffees for the interval. And there's Jane with her trolley pile full of cakes. And there's the lights and sound. And then there's all the people that worked on costumes. And it's just, you realize when it comes to church or production or like anything, often you think about the people that are up front and you might think of them as the head or something, but, or maybe not, maybe you think of them as a less important part or a part that's hidden away. Depends what you think of your leaders, I think. But there's a thing there where it's so easy just to focus on the person who the spotlight is on. But actually, to be the body of Christ, what Paul is saying here is it's not just like that. He goes on with are all the prophets, are all apostles, all teachers, all work miracles. So, there shouldn't be any kind of like ladder or hierarchy to this kind of thing. It's so important. And you know, on a Sunday morning, as important it is to give messages up the front, it's so important that we offer hospitality and coffee. People love to chat over coffee at the end. That is like, if that was missing, and it was during lockdown, wow, we missed it. We missed it so much. I tell you, we could go, and we miss like worship, but coffee, I think, was the major, thing we missed. And it's those small things. And actually, like, think of Ian at the church. He comes in midweek after a lot of groups, and it's a big area to clean. And when we have blood donors in on a Tuesday, it's great to have them in the church. All the chairs need to get put away almost. And then he comes and he sets them all up, and he vacuums, he makes sure the place is clean. And he does that a few times a week. Bless him. It's just like an incredible job. And without him, the church would cease to function. It'd be harder. It'd be like coming in on a Sunday morning and suddenly you've got to see all the chairs as well as all the other stuff. So it's those small jobs that we don't think of are so important. That's what this made me think of this morning. So I'd like to pray for all members of our church who feel like they're not in the spotlight, who feel like actually, oh, they're not, maybe not important, and they're not loved or honored or seen. But last night at the play, I could really see all the effort that had gone in behind the scenes, and it was incredible. It was such a joy to see. I also want to pray for the unity of the church at this time. So this week has been a bit of a rocky week in the news. There's stuff, the House of Bishops released a statement about same-sex marriage, and the Church of England have, you know, the bishops at least are going to take it to General Synod, but they decided that marriage is for between a man and a woman, and yet we are able to, well, the proposal is to bless people in civil partnerships, so in same-sex relationships, we're able to bless them, pray for them, and for that for many people that is a hard thing to come to terms with, but it's just kind of, it's brought stuff out in the air that no one's happy really, because same-sex people want to be married, and people that aren't don't want them, that, you know, it's just like, it's not, from anyone's point of view, it doesn't seem fair. And I really feel for the bishops, and I really feel for General Synod, and I feel for our leaders, and how do you try and keep unity when there's such strong feelings on either side. And that is, it's really hard, and we really need God's wisdom. We need and I do think, as I've grown up in the church, that I do think the body is diverse, and the more I've hung out with people, the more I've felt like that's okay. That might just be my opinion, but it's okay that we're diverse. Sometimes we look at scripture and we see very different things. And yet, what I've tried to hang on to is that when I've become disorientated in my own faith, in my own exploration and striving, is there's like three stages. Walter Brueggemann says there's three stages where you're disorientated by something. So something happens. Well, I think you're orientated first. So you think you know where you are. You have these boundaries, and sometimes they just get shattered by either grief or illness, or you know, coming into contact with someone who's just very different and sees things differently, and then you have a time of disorientation. Now, how you deal with that disorientation is either you feel dizzy, you don't like it, you walk away, or you just hang on in there. You go to scripture, you go to people that you trust, and you go to books, and you ask God what's going on, and then you have the last stage of reorientation. So orientation, disorientation, then you reorientate, and that's not the same place as the first place. You have slightly changed, and my faith has changed, and the more I interact with people, it changes, because God puts people in my path that are going to challenge me, and that's a wonderful thing, because we're disciples. And the Bible, as we do this on a Monday and Wednesday, it continues to challenge me, and to how we reorientate ourselves as a body in this time of disorientation is my prayer. I hope that we come out in a healthier, a better place. You know, that we just have to put ourselves at God's feet and ask for his wisdom. So let's give thanks for the church, and let's pray for the church this morning. Lord, I thank you that we are not all made the same. We are all different in unique ways. We have different talents, different ways of seeing the world. Each of us have a different fingerprint, and it is wonderful the variety and the diversity that you've put in this world, all the different species of animals and plant life, and we're still discovering so much. So Lord, I thank you for the abundance of diversity, and Lord, I pray that somehow we might celebrate that we might come together, even though we differ in our theological views or this is what I don't want to see, is your body being torn apart in the news, in people's eyes that aren't Christians. Where is the light to come from when all they see is different pieces? Lord, I pray for your church, in the coming weeks and months as General Synod meet and discuss this. Lord, I pray for us in that time of disorientation, where we might feel dizzy, we might feel threatened, we might feel weakened. But Lord, I pray that you would use it, that you'd use that time inside the stormy place to actually help us to step outside the boat, help us to walk on water somehow. You know, help us to imagine how you are, what you're saying to us at this time for our culture, for this world, for such a time as this. Lord, I pray that we would be carriers of good news. Lord, I pray that you would reorientate us. And I pray that we would face you, Jesus, that we wouldn't be walking away from you without knowing it, that we would be facing you, we would be striving towards you.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.